Friday, everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Glad you're joining us. I am not William, nor am I Nisha, nor am I Crystal, nor am I Mike. I'm Robin Schooling, and I'm guest hosting today, and glad to be here on what is also World Martini Day, and so thrilled to be able to have a chat today with Gary Kushner. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I am good. Tell us what's going on in your world today. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're up in the lovely state of Michigan. What's happening up there?
Michigan is wonderful this time of year. Summer is arriving, I guess, on Sunday officially, but the mid to high 70s, low 80s have arrived. The humidity has left, and it is beautiful summer up here. I did not know it was World Martini Day, but I think I should go fix one here, if only I had an office like on Mad Men.
Exactly. You know, you may not be Don Draper, but you can play him, at least, you know, for the afternoon. I give you permission to do that.
If only.
That's right. Then the two questions that remain are shaken or stirred and gin or vodka. So we can determine that.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your day-to-day, what you do, what you work on.
You bet. So I've been in the HR field now going on 38, 39 years. Started really as a generalist. Still spend a lot of time in that role, but I started founded Kushner & Company in 1982, which is an HR strategy consulting, employee benefit consulting administration firm here in lovely Kalamazoo, Michigan. There are a lot of songs, actually, as recently as last year with the Black Keys. Kalamazoo was mentioned, but we help predominantly small to mid-sized organizations, all sectors, establish and then align their HR strategies with their organization's goals and objectives. And we do it at the strategic and the operational level, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So lately, one of the things we've been hearing a lot, our clients are all over the country. I think we have clients now in 36 states, six countries. But for our U.S. clients, we're hearing a lot of concern about ERISA and ACA compliance. And I know that, you know, HR always wants to be and should be at the strategic level, but of course,
right,
you know, one of those keys to entry, you got to make sure what you're doing is in compliance with all the laws and regs. And this is an area causing a lot of folks some sleepless nights.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting when we look back on it, the first conversations that we had when, you know, ACA was first proposed and everybody, you know, I remember we sat there with charts outlining the timeline, you know.
Yep.
This is going to happen now. And 2016, 2018 seemed so far away, and now that's here. What are the main things that your clients are asking about for 2016? What's coming online in 2016?
There are two big areas that many folks are going to find in 2016. Some began it in 2015.
Uh-huh.
So finally, the employer mandate took effect. Initially, it was scheduled for 2012, then 2014.
Right.
And it was now this year, it's for employers with 100 or more full-time equivalents. ACA has its own definition of how you do that. So if that piece is in effect this year, it'll go into effect next year, 2016, for all of those employers from 50 to 99.
Mm-hmm.
And so preparing for the employer mandate and understanding the two sets of penalties that can come into play is a big piece of what's keeping folks up at night.
Yeah.
They, you know,
now one I'm sorry.
No, no,
I'm talking right over you.
You know, you were exactly right, Robin. You know, in 2010, when this was first passed, 2014, 2015 seemed like a long way away.
Yeah.
Well, it crept up on a lot of folks, and the preparation and planning they did, well, maybe they didn't do, maybe hoping the law would go away, but it so far it hasn't.
One of the things that I hear HR practitioners talking about a lot are really sort of two, I guess, formulas that come up a lot, and that is calculating that full-time equivalency.
Yes.
Seems to be a challenge,
mm-hmm.
and then doing the look-back part for coverage.
That is a whole other area. So, you know, if I'm an employer with just regular old 40-hour-a-week employees, it's very easy. But if I have part-time employees or new employees or the real fun ones are variable hour employees, you know,
yeah.
those folks that work 32 this week and 24 next week and 40 the week after,
yeah,
I now have to develop, I have to determine how I'm going to do it and then develop a process around what are called measurement, administrative, and stability periods. And every employer is going to want to do that. There's no set formula. They're going to want to do that based upon their workflow and their employees, how they tend to utilize employees. And so calculating the full-time equivalents, actually, when you begin to look at it, it's not terrible. But then when you layer in the measurement administrative stability period stuff and the look back, and I've got to go back over a year, well, wait a minute, for new employees, I have to look at it for their actual 12 months from their date of hire to 12 months out. Holy cow. And for many employers, they didn't know they even had to do it, and they should have been doing this last year, 2014.
Right, right. Are you finding that the HR technology solutions that are out there, you know, the HCM, the HRIS systems, are they sufficiently supporting the needs of HR folks to run those calculations, to run those reports, to pull that data out?
That's a wonderful question. Our experience so far has been that there are some systems, higher-end systems, that have, in fact, been able to do that.
Yeah.
The systems typically available to small to mid-sized organizations, at this point, our experience is it's about a 50-50. It's a coin flip.
Yeah.
Some do a good job, although the real key is making sure the employer captures the data so that the system has it inside.
Right.
And can then work with it. Some systems do it really well, and it's easy for the employer to capture the data through, for example, the payroll process, if it's an integrated payroll HRMS or HCM system. Others are less able to do that, and we've seen some standalone solutions that the solution itself is good, but it breaks down almost immediately when employers don't make sure that they're getting all the data into it properly.
Yeah, yeah. You can't get the output without the input.
It's that old
Geico. Yeah,
yep,
exactly.
That's the old Geico.
Yeah. Yep. And I think especially when you look at and this is always a part that fascinates me around any of these sorts of any HR conversation. The when we think of the vast majority of HR professionals, HR leaders that are working in small and mid-sized businesses, and everybody doesn't. The reality is, everybody doesn't have the latest and greatest technology, and so day-to-day practitioners are, you know, in order to kind of keep track of those things, are using, you know, what we've always done: spreadsheet, you know, spreadsheet city,
right.
And you know, maintaining that data. And independent even of ACA, you know, there are so many folks that continue to operate their HR departments out of necessity with spreadsheets. I have a friend here in town that they're shopping for a new solution, but it's a long and arduous process, and so all of her retirement plan info, and when she does pulls the data together for any testing and things, it's spreadsheets. It's, you know, dumps it out of payroll, dumps it into spreadsheets, and then works on that as she needs to. And it just, it makes it a challenge, but it's, and that's the reality,
yes.
Unfortunately.
You're exactly right. And that's unfortunately not the exception. It's more likely the rule, especially in those small to mids. And quite frankly, the spreadsheet solution is going to be a difficult one to make work if I have any number of, you know, if I only have one or two part-time or variable hour employees, not a big deal.
Yeah.
But if I'm I'm running a restaurant or I'm in retail or I'm in hospitality, that's going to be a very difficult way to try to collect the data and do the process correctly.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's one of the, the opportunities for technology vendors for somebody to really get in front of that, whether that be, and maybe even as a standalone solution for
mm-hmm.
those small and mid-sized businesses. Sort of as a follow-up to that, since I brought up technology. And I'm back. Gary, are you still there? Gary? We're back.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah.
Now that's what you call a reset. I hope you filled the air and kept talking. Because my internet connection just totally died.
Oh, goodness, I did not. I'm sorry. It sounded like it went mute.
Well, I'm back. So we're totally going to do a reset now because we've got about 12 minutes left. So we are, again, we're on Drive Through HR. I'm Robin Schooling. We're talking to Gary Kushner. And we've been talking about ERISA and the ACA and the challenges and, dare I say, opportunities that we continue to face in HR. But I wanted to take a little shift and talk about SHRM 15 upcoming here in just over a week's time, because you're going to be doing two sessions at SHRM this year. And what were you telling me, 30 years or so of going to SHRM 30 times, of presenting at SHRM?
I think my first SHRM presentation was in 1984, and apparently they can't find other speakers or something. I'm not sure, because I've been back every year since.
No, that means that they know a good thing, and they keep bringing back the people with the high marks. So let me just tell folks because two sessions. So the one on Monday is the changing nature of work and the worker, four global trends impacting strategic HR. And then Tuesday is your mega session, optimizing HR strategy for organizational effectiveness. And I think this is kind of a good shift because sort of at the end of the day, all the ACA compliance, it's an operational, transactional sort of, we need to do it HR-wise. But what about HR strategy? What are you going to be talking about in these sessions? I'm interested to hear that.
Well, actually, and the Monday session will sort of lead into some of the Tuesday session. The whole idea of aligning HR strategies with organizational goals and objectives is not anything new. HR professionals have hopefully been doing that for years and years. But with changes in the way work is getting done and is going to get done in the future, in the near future, and the changing workforce that's going to be doing it and doing it in very different ways, than traditionally it's been done, is going to lead to, hopefully, the HR professionals and organizations helping to lead their organization through updating their HR strategies and leveraging their people, their human capital, as their competitive advantage. And that's really what I'm talking about in that second session.
Yeah.
How do we get that really good alignment at the C-suite level, where HR is delivering results and helping the organization get that competitive advantage through having the right people doing the right things at the right time?
Yeah. How do you suggest to HR leaders, to HR practitioners, that they, if they have not been able to successfully make that journey yet, how do you advise that they start? What are the conversational openings they should have with the CEO, with the COO, with the other folks in the C-suite to get them there?
Great question. If I'm in an organization where I'm already at the proverbial table, I don't need to do this. But if I'm not yet there, or my organization still views HR in, you know, kind of as a continuation of the old personnel function, you know, very compliance oriented, keep me out of jail, keep me out of trouble. The way I should begin this is by, number one, understanding how my business operates. How does my organization operate?
Mm-hmm.
And then starting to think through how we can leverage our people. You know, do we have the right people to do that?
Yeah.
If I go into the CEO and the CFO and begin a conversation with, I think I can help drive better business results if we can do the following things.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to have some of those strategic discussions. So, for example, if one of our organization's goals has been to roll out a new product or service, and I understand what that's going to do and how that's going to fit into our other offerings, and I can now come up with specific strategies on the people side of this, I can basically begin to demonstrate the real value of HR in an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you were exactly right. It's not, I mean, yes, HR has to make sure we're in compliance, but that's just, you know, to me, the low bar, the ground level. If
right.
we want HR to help drive organizational success, we've got to be at that having those strategic discussions with our leaders.
Yeah. One of the elements in there, and I guess I see this as sort of a two-phase thing. I think we've done collectively very well as HR professionals over the last, especially I'd say 20 years. We've done very good at understanding and grasping the fact that we need to intimately know our specific business. I mean, I think that's a given. We get that. I think where we have more opportunities, though, or many HR professionals have opportunities, is to understand the external forces a whole lot better. What's happening in my community, in my industry, not just down the street from me, but globally? What are the economic trends or the consumer trends, if I'm in a consumer business, or, you know, whatever it may be? But understanding those external forces and, you know, it's the old environmental scan sort of thing.
Bet.
But really bringing that information into those conversations as well. It's not enough to just say, yeah, I work in a bank, I understand the banking, my bank or my, you know, banking industry, but what other stuff is out there that's impacting, you know, the decisions that I want to make on the people side of things?
You're absolutely right, and it's not just even the environmental scan, which I always look at is if I'm driving a car, looking in the rearview mirror to see you know what's out there, what's been going on. Where I think HR professionals may want to spend more time is looking through the windshield. Where are we going, and what changes are out there? So what changes in technology might impact us? You know, your example in banking. You know, there's been this trend in the financial services industry away from building all these new bank branches everywhere.
Right.
Because
right.
I can now do a lot of my banking, if not virtually all of it, virtually. I can do it on the internet. I can do it on my smartphone. Now, obviously, there are security things to consider, but if I'm in HR in a bank, I should be helping my C-suite see where some of that is going, some of those
yes.
trends.
Yes.
The trend towards micro work, which is one of the trends I'm going to talk about in the first session I do at CHRM. The trends towards micro work, where I may need specific, very short-term work done, I'm going to do it in a very different way than we have traditionally,
yes.
which was let's hire somebody for 6 months and then we'll find somewhere else to put them. Now,
yeah.
You may hire somebody for
yeah.
a month or two, or a team
right.
for a month or two, and you may never even
right.
meet the individuals. And yet
well,
the work.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No. And then the work
yeah,
gets done.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the piece of that, and you probably cover this too on Monday, but the piece I find fascinating when we look at the rise of the contract worker and all that sort of thing, the
mm-hmm.
fact that my employee who's maybe doing that month or 2 months stint with me for a project, it's not a job anymore, it's a project. They're simultaneously doing that at two or three other organizations, perhaps
yeah.
overlapping at the same time. And so what's the role of HR in that? I think that's a change of how do we include those people in the organization, treat them as – I think the shift of treating people as humans then, we're going to die a little bit with there's sort of that
mm-hmm.
segregation of contract workers to employees. We're kind of in the trough of that right now, but I think that's going to shift as well, and the realization will become they may not be on our payroll. They may be a 1099 guy, but they're
yeah.
still part of the organization, and HR needs to take ownership of that a little bit more. It's not just relegated to the purchasing department who got the contract done.
All the work that an HR professional does around engagement, you know, we've always called it
right.
employee engagement, but I may be engaging other people out in the community or around the globe as part of this as well. And what
yeah.
shifts do I need to help make inside the organization for
mm-hmm.
jobs that were traditionally done internally?
Mm-hmm. And really, and one of the very sort of transactional things with that, I had a conversation with someone just recently, and it seems like such a simple thing, but again, this is kind of how businesses operate now. Well, you know, Sally Sue is joining our organization, but she's a contract worker, so we don't want to give her a company email address.
Mm.
Oh, but yet at the same time, everything we do and communicate is via
mm-hmm.
company-wide email. Oh, how do we make sure Sally Sue and the 30 other people in the same boat are
yep.
involved in that? You know, and so thinking through those things is fascinating.
And actually, if we already have Sally Sue in the fold, it's a little too late. I should have been thinking through: are we going to use micro workers, for example?
Yeah.
If so, what are the implications for the organization internally and externally?
Yeah.
And I should think through all of that, build my processes, develop my outcome expectations, build in the accountability measures, whether I'm dealing with an individual or, you know, there are now whole companies out there with millions and literally millions. I'm going to share a few at CHRM with
yeah.
millions of those, you know, micro workers available. And then they
yeah.
bid on jobs and you get a quality product. And yet if I haven't thought through all the implications from an HR perspective on the internal organization and how we use these folks, I'm going to have some problems as it arises. It's non-traditional.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we thank you so much, Gary. And even though we had that little brief drop there in the middle, I think we still did fabulously. But we are just about at the end. So in a quick 30 seconds or so we have left, tell us
where we can find you. Obviously, we can find you at SHRM, but where can we find you day to day and get a hold of you?
My email address is Gary, G-A-R-Y, dot Kushner, K-U-S-H-N-E-R, at Kushner, C-O, dot com. And you can see all of the things that we do on our website, www.kushnerco.com.
Excellent. And on the Twitters, you're at Gary Kushner. We can find you there. And
yep.
Thank you so much. And we're going to go out. Happy Martini Day. We're going to go out to a little Sublime. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
In the morning, rise into the street. Light me up that cigarette, and I'll strap shoes on my feet. Got to find a reason.